Sundays, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Vicki Barker in New Orleans on the first morning of a new year.
We woke up to terror at our door.
District Attorney Jason Williams, after 15 people were killed and more than 30 injured by a truck driven by U.S. Army veteran and apparent ISIS convert Shamsuddin Jabbar.
This is not unique to the world, but it is unique to American cities, and it's certainly unique to New Orleans.
Reporter Chris Fox has more from Texas.
The FBI continues to block entry to the North Houston neighborhood where the suspect, 42-year-old Shamsuddin Jabbar, lived.
So I'm born and raised in Beaumont, Texas, and now live in Houston.
Jabbar promoted his real estate company in a 2020 YouTube video. Prior to that, he served in the U.S. Army, honorably discharged. The FBI also combing through other videos for answers. President Biden.
Mere hours before the attack, he posted videos on social media indicating that he was inspired by ISIS, expressing a desire to kill. The ISIS flag was found in his vehicle.
Jabbar died in a shootout with New Orleans police. CBS's Anna Schechter has more.
He had improvised explosive devices on him, multiple IEDs, and the long gun with a silencer, reportedly another gun. So he clearly planned this.
Police in Las Vegas, meanwhile, trying to establish if there's a link with the Tesla Cybertruck that caught fire and exploded outside President-elect Donald Trump's Las Vegas hotel yesterday.
Both vehicles, I'm being told, New Orleans was rented from Turo, and so was ours. That's another coincidence that absolutely is continuing to bear from our investigation that we have to continue to look into.
The driver died. Seven people nearby sustained minor injuries. CBS News has just learned that that truck was rented to Matthew Allen Livelsberger, an active-duty U.S. Army soldier who was serving in Germany but was on leave in Colorado, and we'll bring you more on that story as it develops. A mass shooting last night in Queens, New York, left 10 teenagers hurt. CBS New York's Christina Phan has more.
Police are still searching for multiple male suspects who they say fired upon a crowd of about 15 people who were standing outside an event space. There were so many victims. The street was crowded with ambulances waiting to rush them all to hospital.
And at least three people were killed in a massive explosion in the Honolulu area, apparently involving illegal fireworks. Hawaii Governor Josh Green.
Let us put on firework displays in the community. Let us spend the monies to have something special for our citizens, which is what we've been proposing. No more fireworks shows on back streets across our state.
On Wall Street, stocks are poised to begin 2025 up significantly. This is CBS News.
Nothing makes a gathering great like Eggland's Best eggs. They're just so delicious, with better nutrition, too. For us, it's eggs any style, as long as they're the best. Eggland's Best.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brooklyn Nets are back in Milwaukee, taking on the Bucks at Fiserv Forum. The two teams played just a week ago. The Nets won that one, 111-105. NFL. The Packers say defensive back Jaire Alexander is likely done for the season. He had to have his right knee scoped Tuesday. After weeks of swelling and pain, he suffered a torn PCL back in October against the Jaguars. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
It's unfortunate. It is what it is. I feel for him. Obviously, he was trying to get his knee right. It wasn't getting right. And so, yeah, it's a tough deal for all of us.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
That's tough. Anytime, you talk about season-ending injuries, guys not being able to come back, it's tough, you know. Going to be praying for John, and hopefully he can recover. But, yeah, it's tough. You know, we feel for the guy, you know, definitely wants to be out there. So it's tough.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million in change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy today, although we will see a little bit of sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 20s today. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low down to around 10. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high pretty close to 15 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Unabashedly Wisconsin and from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06 on this Thursday morning, January 2nd, 2025. A short two-day work week for a few of us. Many others still on break for a couple of more days, and we'll all crank it up again together on Monday, January 6th. That's also when the new session of the Wisconsin legislature begins, and so we'll talk to Up North News political correspondent Elizabeth Montemurro about that coming up in just a couple of moments. A lot of things that the legislature could do, but they didn't get done last year before they put themselves on a nine-month paid vacation. We'll see if a smaller Republican majority makes them any more willing to work with Democratic Governor Tony Evers on crafting a two-year state budget that will affect all of us in some form or another. So we'll have that coming up to kick off the new year. But first, let's turn to meteorologist Brittany Merlot to tell us on the second day of the new year about some snow that's kind of slicking things up up north in parts of other areas. And this, well, it's not a deep freeze, but I mean, we've been pretty comfortable comparatively for a big chunk of the winter. But what we got is going to have to stay bundled up for a little while here, Brittany, aren't we?
Yep. Back to layers, because that cold air is filtering in. It's turned on that lake effect snow machine. Up north, I was driving actually on Highway 2 yesterday. It is slick, it is slippery, and that snow is still flying, especially into Vilas counties and areas of north central Wisconsin. Probably another 1 to 2 inches is still expected to accumulate today. So we've got the lake effect snow ongoing, but then for the rest of the state, mostly cloudy and trying to hang on to some mildness. Highs will reach the low to upper 20s across the state. But again, flurries flying, lake effect snow, and cloud cover. Then the cold settles in overnight. Our temperatures fall to the single digits, and then for tomorrow, we only climb to highs in the teens. That's statewide. Plus, those winds are going to be breezy. They're breezy out there today. They're going to stay like that tomorrow. So wind chills are going to be feeling more like the single digits tomorrow. And then it's also going to be feeling more like near negative 20 in those overnight hours and early morning hours. And that's going to hold for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We'll get a little boost back to the 20s.
That's it. Just a little boost back. I was pausing for effect. I'm like, and then come the 60s or something. But no, just we are where we are.
Here come the 20s. Yay.
Yeah. Oh, well. Did you enjoy your holiday break?
I did. I absolutely did. It was nice to have. I like the weeks broken up, right? The holidays right smack dab in the middle. So I've been working on both ends of it. But how about you guys?
Sure. We were talking about it was kind of weird to work Monday, Tuesday last week and Thursday, Friday this week, but others, pushed on through like Greg did, filling in for me along with Kristen Lyerly on Monday and Tuesday. Greg, thank you for that. And thank you again for the Christmas gift, the West Wing book. I'm about a third of the way through it already.
Nice.
And just loving that oral history. Brittany, did you get a particular gift over the holidays that stuck with you?
Oh, gosh, got me on the spot.
Not really. I know, I did, didn't I? Now not everybody who really gave you a gift is like, okay, say me.
Exactly. I plead the fifth.
I got the gift of love and family and friendship.
There we go. Yes. From Robin Tigerton, good morning. Partly cloudy, 15 degrees. I had to salt the sidewalks yesterday morning, then went to Schmidt Corners between Tigerton and Iola. Monday, I gained a grandnephew, Milo Walter Went. Kyle and Leah Went, our first-time parents, and my sister Debbie's number three grandson, I believe you said there. I want to wish Pat, Greg, and Brittany a very wonderful New Year's. I hope it's the best year ever, and thank you for all you do. We appreciate that, Rob. Glad you're with us in another new year.
Thank you, Brittany, so much.
We'll talk to you tomorrow and see how the weekend forecast is looking. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
All right. And Rob also notes as well, sends his thoughts and prayers to the people in the city of New Orleans. We do as well. And obviously, Civic Media will keep you updated at the top of the hour throughout the day on the latest in the investigation on that attack. The college football game that had been postponed will be played this afternoon at 3:00 in New Orleans, continuing the college football playoffs. Looking around the Civic Media radio dial at what's going to be coming up today, let's see, we have from Chad Holmes at 8:06 this morning has Pat Kreitler. Well, we can skip that one. Let's go to the Don Rosen Show, where you can hear from Racine Alder and Racine County Board Supervisor Melissa Caprellian, who introduces us to the second of two foreign exchange students that she's hosting during this term of the school year. And the Earl Ingram Show coming up at 8:00 on many of these Civic Media stations has Omar the Pharmacist visiting. And then there's a little program called Matinaire on Air that follows from 10 a.m. to noon. Mr. Bach will be part of that little radio extravaganza. What you guys doing today?
Oh, today? That's a great question, Pat. I'm so happy you asked it.
I'm happy I asked it too. So we'll check back on you on that in a little bit. So.
Sorry, buddy. I'm I was checking something of the levels when you asked that. So I was like, a little, we're doing stuff. We're doing cool stuff, Pat. Okay. We're doing
cool stuff.
Cool, excellent stuff.
We have a spreadsheet, folks, where we're supposed to fill these things in and you know what you've got the next day and some days when there's nothing there, you're just like, well, I'll just go right to the source.
Yeah.
And I went right to the source, and you know, as Taylor Swift would say, I got a blank space, baby.
Well, as far as I know, we're going to probably have Brittany back on the show today talking for Weather and Wine at 11:20, and then also we have our sports on Thursday, and this week we have JS Online, Journal Sentinel writer J.R. Radcliffe, who is going to be joining us to talk about all things sports, probably spending some good time on the Packers. And then, of course, as Tony says, this shouldn't be a thing, a.k.a. Tisbat is our daily show closer, where we talk about a wild and crazy story that we don't think should be something. So,
And yet it is.
And yet it is.
Such is the world we live in. All right. Thank you, Greg, for that. Again, Matt and Aaron Eric coming up at 10:00. Governor Evers put out a press release over the break here, talking about some of the highlights in what he was able to do as governor, even with a hostile legislature in the year 2024. Talking about the tax cuts, for example, that he signed, the ones designed for the middle class. He vetoed the ones that Republicans had put up that were mainly benefiting wealthy tax brackets. He signed an expansion of the child care tax credit, but again, it's pretty paltry compared to what could have been done had Republicans not put so much emphasis on a tax credit benefiting the wealthiest families most. He did redirect $170 million to child care counts, but that will run out in June of this year. He talked about things like the Microsoft data center. The company is investing $3 billion to expand its data center in southeast Wisconsin. In that same neck of the woods, Eli Lilly is also adding a roughly $3 billion expansion. That'll add 2,000 construction jobs and then 750 highly skilled jobs. Keekman Foods is expanding with more than half $1 billion to build a new facility in Jefferson and expand their effort in Walworth. Nestle is expanding its production in Jefferson. That's a nearly $200 million project. Of course, Wisconsin was selected as a regional tech hub. That unlocks nearly $50 million in federal funds to grow biohealth and personalized medicine jobs and production facilities. And of course, the governor notes that Wisconsin ended 2024 on a still occurring 7-month streak of consistently setting new historic levels of employment, including 9 counties reporting their lowest ever levels of unemployment. So despite the vibe out there that was spun successfully by some folks in politics, Wisconsin's economy is humming along nicely. Could always be better if there was a bit more harmony between the governor and the Republican-led legislature. Well, maybe that all changes starting Monday with a new session. So let's visit with Up North News political correspondent Elizabeth Montemurrow about that. Elizabeth, good morning. Happy New Year. How are you?
Good morning. Happy New Year. Doing well.
Good. We have to ask one more time. We have to put closure on this. You made roughly 1,000 raviolis for holiday dinner. Did it turn out all right?
Oh, excellent. And I've got a batch of my own personal leftovers in the freezer that might be consumed before the week is out.
Yeah. No, it sounds like a great holiday break for everybody. And again, just a great family food making activity. But to get us back to the work that's got to be done starting Monday when the legislature comes in, and we will talk to Senator Dianne Hesselbein, the state Senate Democratic leader, at this time tomorrow about the session. But you can find a preview at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And I think, Elizabeth, where people start is with the fair maps. As a result, you've got a smaller Republican majority in the Assembly and the Senate. And so I guess the big question is, will we see any greater opportunities for bipartisanship in the legislature this time around? But goodness knows there are still some fundamental disagreements out there between the GOP and the Democratic governor.
That's right. And one of those big points that there's a little bit of an impasse even heading into this session that will start next week is on things like that will help Wisconsin families, like Badger Care expansion.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that if done could give tens of thousands of people in Wisconsin more stable, more affordable health insurance. And if I'm not mistaken, one of your final stories before the holiday break included a WISP politics forum where the Senate president, Republican Mary Felskowski, did not exactly leave any opening for bipartisanship on expanding Medicaid and Badger Care here, did she?
Right. She very much said, you know, why would we take people off of private insurance to put them on government insurance and put our hospitals who are already suffering into a worse position with lower reimbursement rates? While, you know, Assembly Minority Speaker Greta Neubauer very much spoke to the fact that, you know, the private insurance may not be working for everyone.
Right. I mean, it doesn't work for a lot of folks here. And if you can instead have that stable and affordable policy through Medicaid, and if you could use some of this, you know, $4 billion surplus to shore up Medicaid reimbursement rates, well, that would kind of be a win-win. So after the break, we'll ask Elizabeth about other potentials for a win-win in the Wisconsin legislature for the new session starting next week. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, January 2nd, when you're here, you're up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Yesterday, we reported on attempts by anti-voter legislators in Arizona to make it harder to get citizen ballot initiatives on the ballot and a higher threshold to pass one. Another suppression tactic by opponents? Slap signature canvassers with a subpoena. Recruiting and training a legion of canvassers to put a measure on the ballot is already an expensive proposition. As we noted yesterday, should the Arizona Distribution Requirement for Initiatives Amendment pass in November, signatures would be required from all 30 legislative districts in Arizona, meaning more volunteers and more expense. Bolts Magazine reports on another tactic: take the ballot question organizers to court. Opponents hope that by challenging the question's text, signature collection methods, and eligibility of canvassers, it can either invalidate signatures or make it financially unfeasible to continue. A recent Arizona law allows opponents to subpoena canvassers to defend their petitions, and if they don't appear, the signatures can be tossed out. Bolts Magazine chronicles a 2018 climate ballot question that had 1,400 canvassers subpoenaed, and organizers spent $1.3 million transporting and housing canvassers, most of whom never even testified. Expect more such tactics as anti-voter legislators try to keep power out of the hands of citizens. We've linked the Bolts Magazine article at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
It was during this week in 1968 that a Berkeley, California group called the Gollywogs decided to change their name. They changed their name to Creedence Clearwater Revival. Seems to have worked out all right for them, happening 57 years ago this week. The Wisconsin legislature comes back into session on Monday, and they are facing an issue that is so unique to politics. If I put together almost any other group of people and said, here's a pot of $4 billion. Can you divide it up in a way that makes everybody happy? The answer is yes. The answer almost anybody would give you would be yes. But a legislature run by Republicans with a Democratic governor has had a very tough time finding the win-win in having a multi-billion dollar surplus. And Up North News political correspondent Elizabeth Montemaro joins us again to talk a bit more about where this all goes from here. So we start with a surplus of $4 billion. You've got the governor giving his State of the State address later this month, eventually a budget address. And then they start debating the budget. Elizabeth, you mentioned Medicaid expansion, you know, making Badger Care stronger. What are some of the other issues you expect to be covering as the legislature starts working on a state spending plan for the next 2 years?
You know, I think education will be a big piece of that. We've already seen State Superintendent Jill Underley submit and very publicly announce her budget proposals for the coming year. And a big piece of that is increasing the reimbursement rate that school districts get for special education. I know we've talked about that before, charter schools get a 90% reimbursement rate, while our public schools are only getting like 25 to 30% reimbursement rate for those mandatory services that they have to offer. And I think the other big thing that we're going to be talking a lot about is childcare and the potential cliff that we have with child care counts funding projected to run out by the middle of this year.
Right. And it the only reason it still exists is that Governor Evers was able to reallocate some federal pandemic relief funds to keep the child care counts program going, which is helping child care centers stay in business. It's helping parents be able to afford child care and stay in the labor force. Republicans have offered next to nothing in terms of what to do about affordable child care, except for a tax credit that, again, benefits mostly wealthier families. So that's one that I'll be curious to see with the smaller Republican majority. If you do find some Republicans that are saying, hey, we actually do need to do something about this, because affordable child care, it's not an issue just in Democratic represented districts. This is very much a statewide problem, Elizabeth, that legislators have been hearing about.
Right. And, you know, we also talk about the state having had record low unemployment. If child care counts goes out the window, people can't afford or find child care because there's a shortage of child care providers. Who's going to watch the children while parents are at work?
Which is only going to exacerbate the labor shortage if more people decide that they have to stay home because they can't find quality, affordable child care. We'll also see, I'm quite certain, when you talk about a surplus, you have to talk about, you know, tax cuts as well. And three different times in the last session, Republicans proposed a tax cut plan, but each one was so heavily weighted toward the highest tax brackets that Governor Evers vetoed them partially or overall, and allowed some middle class tax cuts to go through and take effect. But again, tax cuts will most certainly be part of, I would have to say, the starting point, because Republicans will want to see some kind of a tax cut before they allocate any other parts of the surplus to education or the UW system or Medicaid or child care or anything like that. But I know that Speaker Robin Voss of the Assembly has already said that Jill Underly, the state superintendent, is certainly not going to get everything that she has asked for. The UW system is, he said, not going to get the $855 million that they're asking for. But in all of these cases, Elizabeth, I mean, this is a debate that doesn't just happen in the Capitol building. The Joint Finance Committee almost always takes to the road and allows for public input. So I sense you're going to be hearing, and the legislators are going to be hearing, from a lot of regular folks who are going to take time out of their day to talk about these issues and more that they think the legislature should be funding.
That's right. And, you know, I was thinking about this over the break, as we talk about holiday meal conversation. There's some things that inevitably come up for every family, and finances and affordability and taxes. I definitely heard around my holiday table at various gatherings throughout the break. So that inevitably is going to trickle over to those calls to legislators, those emails to legislators, because folks are definitely feeling that pull and push in their own personal lives.
Yeah, without a doubt. And where they're getting it from is things like childcare, you know, the things that are in their day-to-day lives, more so than, you know, hey, can you cut my state income tax rate from, you know, 4.56 to 4.25? You know, nobody's sending a letter to their legislator about that. They're saying do something about childcare. Or they're saying something like, you know, get the PFAS out of my water. And it's so weird, Elizabeth, that we're going into a new state budget when in the current state budget, there's still $125 million in there to clean up PFAS. That money's not going to work yet. It's just sitting there.
Right. And that's not the only thing. We've also are sitting on $50 million to implement, you know, literacy bill that the state legislature asked for in the last cycle. And, you know, additional funding that could be going to help our hospital systems, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah, and the Chippewa Valley, where you had these two hospitals just abruptly close. So there's plenty of unspent funds from the current budget that this legislature needs to do. And again, we'll talk to Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein about it tomorrow during this time period. But Elizabeth Montemurro helps tee it off for us, which is going to be a busy 6 months before the next state budget is due. Elizabeth, thanks so much for that, and thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Yep, you as well. So when we come back, we'll talk a bit more about what lies ahead in 2025 on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow, back after this.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Election 2024 is behind us, and some new faces are taking over leadership on the House and Senate Ag Committees. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Sam Kiefer, Vice President of Public Policy for the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the four leaders of the committees have a wealth of experience.
The House Ag Committee chairman is Glenn G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania. He's well-established. New ranking committee member, Angie Craig from Minnesota. New, but not inexperienced. On the Senate side, John Bozeman from Arkansas takes over as the committee chairman. He's been serving as a leading Republican for a while. And joining him from the other side of the aisle is Senator Amy Klobuchar from the Democrats. Again, new to her post, not new to Congress, not new to the Ag Committee.
That's Sam Kiefer, Vice President of Public Policy for the American Farm Bureau Federation, along with us. I'll have more news right after this.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. Joshua Gonzalez, a second grade teacher and agriculture committee chairman at River Trail School of Agricultural Science in Milwaukee Public Schools, has been named the 2024 Wisconsin Outstanding Teacher by the Wisconsin Agriculture in the Classroom program. Gonzalez's passion for agricultural literacy stems from personal experience and a vision to transform urban education. Reflecting on the pandemic's impact on food access, Gonzalez recalled his grandparents' backyard fruit trees in Puerto Rico, where neighbors shared harvests to support one another. Inspired by this memory, he now equips students to address food deserts and build sustainable, healthy communities through urban agriculture. You can learn more about this as well as find other agriculture news stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for our e-newsletter as you'll receive stories delivered to your inbox every day. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today, although we will see a little bit of sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 20s today. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low down to around 10. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high pretty close to 15 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
Kick off the new year with a style that's all your own. Stand out and set the trend with Quality Plus Printing and Wham Incorporated. Design custom sports apparel that showcases your unique flair. When you feel good, you perform better.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. but you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
We're coming up on the weekend anniversary, January 4th, 1973 in Madison, where Neil Young would kick off his Time Fades Away tour. That's noteworthy in and of itself for Neil Young kicking off a tour in Madison in 1973. But also noteworthy is that his opening act was an unknown singer named Linda Ronstadt, who had played a lot of clubs, but eventually would start to win over arenas throughout the Neil Young tour with her voice. The following year, her breakthrough album, Heart Like a Wheel, would come out with hits like that one, You're No Good. 7:35 now on Up North News Radio. Pat Kreitlow along with Greg Bach. Nice to be back after the holiday break. We've got a busy few days ahead of us with the new Congress beginning tomorrow. Then the new legislature on Monday, a new state budget, frankly, a new federal budget that's got to be negotiated as well, because they never reached agreement the last time around. Congress kept kicking the can, and they did so again. And once again, an unnecessarily late deal that just didn't resolve anything, and in fact left some things hanging. For example, in the budget deal that passed just before the Christmas break, in order to satisfy some Republicans that wanted a smaller bill that spent less, the money was dropped for things like 9/11 first responders. Remember Jon Stewart from The Daily Show campaigning literally for years and years that first responders at the 9/11 site at Ground Zero should have their health costs covered for the many respiratory ailments that have sickened and killed first responders at Ground Zero. And we thought not that long ago that there was finally resolution to that matter, but there's not. The last budget deal did not include language that would continue to extend the health benefits for first responders for that day. Also unnecessarily delayed were things like, cancer research. Yeah, seriously, cancer research and other matters were among the things that were not included. And the assumption, of course, is that, well, they'll all come back, and then by March or April, they'll get this all done. And they'll get a farm bill done. Remember, we're still working off a farm bill from 2018 that hasn't been renewed yet, which continues to put in danger funding that farmers receive for conservation programs. It doesn't do anything new to break up, big monopolies in agribusiness that keep prices artificially low for farmers. There's just so much to do. But again, the can got kicked, and I don't know what makes people feel it's going to be any different next time around, because you're going to have a Republican-led House of Representatives with a one-vote margin for error for the Speaker of the House, whoever the Speaker of the House is going to be. Because when the new Congress comes in session tomorrow, Mike Johnson will be up there standing for re-election, but there's absolutely no guarantee that he won't lose some of the far-right members who wanted more things cut from the budget. They weren't satisfied to just see cancer research cut or 9/11 first responder healthcare cut. They want more cuts. And if Mike Johnson doesn't promise it, then they won't support him. But Mike Johnson is in no position to promise those things, because as he knows, anything that goes to the Senate needs 60 votes to pass. And so I don't think that Greg Bach is out of line making this bold prediction as to who might win and become the Speaker of the House tomorrow. What do you think? Greg, look into your political crystal ball and tell me who could be the next Speaker of the House.
I see Speaker of the House Hakeem Jeffries.
Is it possible? Yes. Yeah. Yes. If a couple of Republicans say, well, to just to prove my point, we're going to put the Democrats in charge, and then we can blame the Democrats for everything that goes wrong when Republicans can't agree amongst themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, it worked in this last presidential election for them. So why wouldn't it work again, right?
You got people talking about trying to draft Elon Musk or Matt Gaetz to be Speaker of the House. I mean, we are just at a point now where it's getting to be a bit ridiculous and almost disrespectful to the title itself. It's like this should be a hollow experience for someone who is very qualified, very, very knowledgeable about the process. And when you're like, oh, well, how about Elon Musk?
You know,
the Mars guy.
Yes. No. So we're going to start this off with drama before we even get to the serious spending decisions that have to be made. But whatever gets done with a Republican president and a Republican-led Senate and a Republican-controlled House and now a Republican-controlled U.S. Supreme Court, well, we rely on that balance of powers and that separation of powers to continue our democracy. And yet, turning over to the Supreme Court, we got an end-of-the-year report from the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, that was a bit of a jaw-dropper in that this nine-page statement that he put out didn't mention ethics once, didn't mention Clarence Thomas's luxury vacations or the decisions and the favors given to Samuel Alito and everything else that has put a cloud of controversy around the United States Supreme Court, which has public support at a level that hasn't been measured this low perhaps ever. So who does John Roberts blame for this if he doesn't bring up the ethical dilemmas, to put it politely, about some of his own members, if he doesn't mention the decisions that were questionable, to put it kindly, to give presidents, thinking about Donald Trump, virtually unlimited power as long as they feel that they are doing things in a quote-unquote official capacity. Well, that's not right. That's a blank check to abuse the office, to abuse your power, and then claim that you thought it was part of your official duties. And so it's a wonder that there are these negative feelings about the U.S. Supreme Court. Who does John Roberts blame? Criticism of the Supreme Court, he says. And he says it's more than criticism. He says the criticism amounts to attempts to intimidate justices. He believes for a guy that we talk about, you know, free speech a lot, and certainly, you know, giving the president free rein to do whatever. But John Roberts says that while the court is no more infallible than any other branch, he spent a lot of his statement saying, well, when you see the violence that's out there and the violent rhetoric that's out there, that is meant to intimidate courts and judges. And he completely ignores all the ethical questions that have been surrounding the court. He says that judges' independence are threatened by intimidation, disinformation, and threats to defy lawfully entered judgments. Well, yeah, I mean, look, there's no place for violence. There certainly shouldn't be any place for intimidation. But when it comes to disinformation, again, we're dealing with a political faction in this country that is completely reliant on disinformation as its DNA. And we're going to talk to John Shelton on Monday from UW Green Bay, who talks a lot about labor history, but has also written an article for The Nation magazine about political messaging and political media. And right now you have a group that has built up its entire reason for being around power and getting power, even if you're not truthful with the voters. And so to then say that disinformation is a threat to the same conservative justices who are buying into this misinformation and giving Donald Trump unlimited power and shielding him from accountability for his actions on January 6th, 2021. I mean, that's just the height of disingenuousness that we're seeing in this Roberts report. And frankly, a lot of people are right to say that this is meant to have a chilling effect on people who would otherwise be criticizing the courts for the decisions that they're making. Courts should be held accountable for their decisions. They should be held accountable for their ethics. And yet, perhaps the most underreported story of 2024 was the ethical scandals. And these are genuine scandals that swirl around what these conservative justices are accepting from people, from billionaires who have business before the court. There is arguably no greater issue right now that impacts democracy. Now that this last election is over, the votes have been counted, everything was fairly decided. The biggest threat to democracy right now may be a corrupt Supreme Court. As Tony puts on YouTube, he says, all these problems, they remind me of somebody in particular. Spoiler, it's Trump. And it is. Because a guy who will continually change his position on things depending on the audience that he's talking to and will put absolute sycophants into positions so that he can have absolute power. When he wants to trade tax policy for tariff policy, so that he alone can decide what countries and what industries and what companies will be subject to tariffs and which ones won't. If a Supreme Court won't stop that, when a Congress won't stop it, then we do have a real reason to doubt the effectiveness and the credibility of our courts. And yet that's exactly what John Roberts would have us believe, based in his writing for his end of the year report. It all ends with me thinking of that infamous meme and picturing the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, in a hot dog costume saying, we are all trying to get to the bottom of who's doing this, who's damaging the credibility of the court. The call is coming from inside the courtroom. Tomorrow, we'll have Senator Dianne Hesselbein on to talk about a legislative preview. We're also going to have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on. Programming note there, Jim Santel normally joins us Friday mornings at 7:20. He's going to join us early tomorrow. He's going to join us at 6:30 so that we have a little bit extra time to talk with him, because he wants to share his memories of working for former President Jimmy Carter. He was a staff intern in the Carter White House back in 1980. And wants to share his memories about that and his thoughts on the Carter presidency ahead of Jimmy Carter's state funeral, which will be next week, Thursday. So again, Jim Santel on at 6:30 tomorrow morning. State Senator Dianne Hesselbein will join us at 7:05. As I mentioned on Monday, we will have John Shelton from UW Green Bay on progressive messaging and media. And then Tuesday will be Congressman Mark Pocan. And I'm hoping... Well, it could be a lot of fun as we look at, you know, the vote for speaker and, you know, what happens in the three-ring circus that's being created in the House. It could be, instead of really funny, it could be really serious, depending on how things get started with that new Congress and the rhetoric that comes from it ahead of Donald Trump being inaugurated on January 20th. And so we're going to hope it's somewhere in the middle. We're going to hope that it's something about getting down to business and getting some things done, because there are issues out there that lend themselves well to bipartisanship and to getting some things done right from the get-go. I don't know. There was immigration reform. There was a deal on the table that Donald Trump then scuttled so that he could run on the issue of immigration and somehow was able to win on it, maybe the first thing they get done is an immigration deal? Okay, well, I thought I'd throw it out there. We'll ask Congressman Pocan about it coming up on Tuesday. We'll wrap up our conversation here on Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning. Right after this, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Have you made New Year's resolutions such as exercising more or learning a new skill? Why not add some financial resolutions? For starters, try to reduce your debt load. You'll improve your cash flow and have more to invest. See whether you can boost your pre-tax contributions to your traditional IRA and 401k. Once you're 50, you can even make catch-up contributions. If you have an education goal, consider investing in a tax-advantaged 529 education savings plan. Also, try to build an emergency fund containing up to 6 months' worth of living expenses, with the money kept in a liquid, low-risk account. Finally, even if you're relatively young, it's good to have your estate plans in order. And if you've already created these plans, you may want to review them, especially if you've had changes in your family situation involving marriage, divorce, or birth of children or grandchildren. You may not be able to tackle all these resolutions in 2025, but by addressing as many of them as possible, you can make progress towards your goals and set yourself on a positive course for the future. This is Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners. Making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
I figured we needed some aerobics music from Olivia Newton-John. Everybody's got those New Year's resolutions that they want to keep. And so through the magic of radio, you can just imagine that wearing his headband and his leggings, Luke Mathers is back from his aerobics class and is ready to kick off 2025 with us right now. Mr. Mathers, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year, Mr. Kreitlow, Mr. Bach. I'm doing well. Yourselves?
Good. Do you have any resolutions that you want to share with the class for 2025?
See, I a few years ago now, I'm not a big fan of resolutions. I guess not arbitrary ones, just the turn of the calendar year. Mm-hmm. Because for me, it always seemed like I would try to make them and they would never stick.
Sure.
And so I've tried to make things better address concerns that I have like in my life that I'm like, I want to resolve to do this better. I don't wait until the turn of January 1st to try to do it, especially because this last week and a half, like I've been eating healthier over the last several years. I've trimmed down some, you know, post-college weight, that freshman 15 and then sophomore
60,
20, and you know, so you see pictures of yourself leave high school and then leave college and it's like, whoa, okay, yeah. This wasn't great. So I did make it an intentional habit a couple years ago just to be eating healthier. And this last week has been terrible because the sweets are on the holiday.
I know.
So it's like just one more good reminder for me why I don't wait until January 1st to kind of make resolutions like that.
Tony asked on YouTube, do you have goals if not resolutions?
Yeah, do I have that's a gold list?
Yeah.
Do you have professional metrics? Anything that we need to know about here? Or
do you have professional metrics for us that we need to know about right here?
Yeah, Greg really needs to know because it's almost time to start talking about annual raises and things. So if Greg needs to do anything to shape up, this would be the time. So,
oh, not darn it. This day, I wanted today to be the perfect show, start to finish, just
and I love. Our New Year's resolution to have the perfect show, not so much on January 2nd, but come back tomorrow, folks. We're gonna give it another go.
There you go. 362 more tracks at it.
Like how you said, like, time for annual raise discussions, and I'm like, I don't know how to do my job. And like,
here's some unrequested music. Just fading it in. No. Maybe that's bad of me. I don't know. No.
I completely failed at mine last year. Well, not completely. I tried to do a little
bit better. That's exactly the problem. The problem is when you don't do it, then you call it a failure and you get upset with yourself.
Yeah.
And you start like it's a cycle.
Yeah, but I had the world's dumbest one ever, though, is as I get a little bit older here. And it was made in jest, but I realized I had to be serious about it, was to stop making noises when I get up. If I get up from a chair, so stop going, ugh, or, oof, or,
See, but that's like a silly one that, like, if you quote-unquote fail at it, like, come on. Like, I one of the ones that I've always tried and, like, set myself up for not doing as great as well is, like, reading more. Like, I'm always like, I want to read more.
Read more.
That I'm like,
is not
wow.
what I heard.
No, not at all.
Reading more.
Okay. Let's check the tape.
Let's check with Nick Cannon aspirant Luke Mathers to see how his breeding is going. Nope, it's not like that.
Reading
at all.
More.
Reading. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
So, and then I always get to the end of the year. And this year I did have more books that I completed start to finish, which I was proud of. But at the same time, I didn't really set up a metric. Like, I wasn't like, I need to read a book every single month for this year of 2024, because that I would have failed at. But I read more, and so I can kind of pat myself a little bit on the back I still don't think that I read enough. So it's one of those continual things where it's just like, I want to read more. And that's, so yeah.
But don't kick yourself if you don't. But also, if like, even if you read,
oh, Pat kicks me enough, I don't have to kick myself. Don't worry. I'm well aware that there's no need for me to kick myself, because every Thursday morning I get a nice little kick session.
Resolution in 2025, I will kick Luke Mathers more gently. There we go. Okay,
not less, just more gently.
Just more gently is all.
A softer kick. Maybe this time to the bread basket.
I made it very clear in our best of end of the year show in this little segment I dedicated to you,
the little brother,
that we did with love, that it was there for a reason.
Hey, I've got a younger brother, I've got an older brother, I got an older sister. I know all about the sibling, you know, kicking on session. So don't worry, I'm aware that the kickings are from love, but they're still kickings.
yes, they are. So let's kick
this
you into gear thinking about
uncomfortable
civic media in 2025. Do you have any New Year's things to tell us, or anything new and exciting coming down the chute here for us? Or
we had a great evening of Lou Regani bringing in the new year on New Year's Eve. It was a lot of fun. We're excited to be continuing to provide local entertaining programming across the state of Wisconsin, not just from the news talk side here this morning with where the stations you broadcast on, Pat, but across the state with music formatted stations as well. We're continuing to grow, build out the teams that we have established in these communities around the state of Wisconsin. And while a lot of other places we see are turning away from local community-based news and entertainment on the radio, civic media is really leaning into it. And so we're really proud to provide real news and great conversation for our communities across the state of Wisconsin. And I'm looking forward to 2025 being able to continue to do that even more.
Exactly. We appreciate it too. All right, go feed the dogs, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Pat. Happy New Year, Greg.
All right.
Happy
New Year. Greg Bach is back at 10 o'clock for Matt and Air on Air. Topics, TBD. Tune in for more. And then we'll see you tomorrow morning. And thanks to Elizabeth Montemurro for being our guest this morning. And thanks to you as well for joining us. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. And
you're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report, the New Orleans attacker may have had help.
We do believe that there were multiple people that were involved in working with the driver of the vehicle.
Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merrill on CBS Mornings. At least 15 people died and more than 30 were injured when U.S. Army veteran Shamsuddin Jabbar plowed his rented Tesla truck into crowds celebrating New Year's. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Among the deceased victims, 27-year-old Nicole Perez, a manager at a deli market. Her friend and boss described Perez as hardworking and a great mother.
Police in Las Vegas say a serving Army officer called Matthew Allen Livelsberger rented the Tesla truck that caught fire and exploded outside President-elect Donald Trump's Las Vegas hotel yesterday. CBS's Andres Gutierrez has more.
CBS did speak to two of his relatives who said that they had no idea that he was involved in this incident, but knew that he had recently rented a Cybertruck. We're told that his wife hadn't heard from him in several days.
CBS News. Special report.